How are you ladies tonight? Good, 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 good. Well, as Andrea said, we did, I think Amelia and Brooke and a couple other ladies came with us last time when we came to the June one. We had the best time. You ladies really know how to have fun events around here. And then I also came to the Jingle one. Oh, had a great time there too. So I told Andrea, since we've become Facebook friends, I was like, you can't get mad at me if you see a lot of stuff at Pathway that looks like Northview, because you do. About a year and a half ago, I was asked, when you're on staff and get asked, it's kind of like sometimes asked with your hand behind your back twisted, to take over the ladies' ministry, but it really wasn't like that. Our pastors were so gracious, and they're like, look, I think what we've done is we've had a couple of ladies' directors that were asked and just said, hey, you got to do it. We want to get away from that. We've got to get someone that really wants to do it. And I was like, so I prayed about it, and I was like, okay, I didn't know that I really wanted to do it, but God says, yes, you really do want to do it. And so I took it over about a year and a half ago. So really, Andrea has been a blessing to me, even just from afar, because I've just been like, I knew some of the things in our ladies team that we needed and in our ministry that we needed, just a lot of the stuff that you guys already have and are blessed with, just social and having a great time, but I didn't know how to get there. And so just watching some of those things, we've incorporated some of those things this year, and it's already felt like a different year. I've already seen some results of camaraderie and social. We've been doing coffee and convo every couple of months that have just been packed out, and doing a Waco trip in a couple of weeks with all the ladies that are got ladies signed up everywhere. And so it's really just been a blessing where we're a church of about 800 or so, 800 to 1,000, but we'd only have 15 or 20 ladies show up for anything. So I'm like, okay, that's statistics. And this is not even really what I'm talking about. I'm just kind of sharing with y'all. But so it's just been a blessing. And I just wanted to tell you guys at Northview, man, you know, you are, even though you think you guys are just having a fun and partying, you really are being blessings to other houses, because we're able to kind of take some of those ideas and do some of those things. We do, I'm proud to say, because we're in a lower income area in our church, we do community and outreach well. That's one of the things that our church does well. Every year, we do two huge events that probably cost our church about $20,000, and there's about $5,000 people that come onto our property for free. And they get to do, you know, all the Fall Fest activities, egg hunt. We get to go to the streets of Dallas every single week. It's funded by our church or Chick-fil-A or places just like Northview that are a blessing to us. We have a food pantry that every week serves over 170 families full meals for a whole week every week. So we do outreach well. But I noticed we do outreach well, but we really hadn't done inreach well. And I saw groups of ladies and pockets of people. And I was like, okay, God, that's not really how you need. We need to be together. We need to do some stuff together. And so this year has been a fun journey for me, because I've been able to do a few things like that. So just a little bit of history. Andre had asked me, she said, talk whatever you want to talk on. But if you kind of want to talk on spiritual gifts, I'll do that. And so I thought, well, okay, that's a little interesting for me. Not because normally I do kind of really crazy talks, like if you want to go on Facebook, I did one on the street and on video about duct tape, because I'm like kind of a little bit of a duct tape fanatic, just a little bit. And so I kind of like to do a lot of example type things, but I decided, no, that's really good, and it really is going to be probably a little different than what you guys have heard. So just a little history on me, and then somebody wave, because I love to talk, but somebody, you know, kind of give me the signal. Andrea, I'm looking at you, you know, I don't want to go, and y'all are yawning on me, and I know this time y'all aren't doing a slumber party like last time, so y'all don't have pillows and blankets. Okay, so you know, if you had that, I'd just say kind of settle in and we'll be good tonight. This year in August, I will be 50 years old. Whoop, 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 I'm excited. So I was even telling my husband, I was like, I do not want an over-the-hill party. I want a top-of-the-hill party. I want a top of the hill party because this is just the beginning. But it's been really interesting because it's been the beginning for me in a lot of different ways. And that is just even in some of the things that God is doing in my life and some of the things that I'm now seeing come to pass that I have been, even just stuff that's been spoken over or that I have felt that God wanted to do, and I'm just now seeing it. So I'm like, ooh, I'm really excited about that. That's going to be kind of fun. And so I am nearly 50 years old. I have been serving God for probably, I was probably 8, 9, 10 years old. Been in church pretty much all my life. And so you would think I kind of have this whole like spiritual gift church thing down, right? I mean, but really it's not been until just recently that I'm like, oh, I get it now. I get that. And so let me ask you just really quick question. How many people feel like you operate or you know your spiritual gift? Okay. So that is probably about 10% in the room. Okay. So let me ask this question. How many people know what a spiritual gift is? Or you think you know. Okay, so kind of about half. Okay, so I may not take you on the journey that you're kind of suspecting tonight. So it's going to be very practical, and I'm going to give you three simple steps. Okay, I kind of like to equate the spiritual gift thing, at least this is for me, is when I was growing up and even being in church and serving in church, I kind of equate it to the fat girl, skinny girl thing. Okay. I was always very, very, very heavy. And so, of course, you know how it is. When you're heavy, you want to be thin. And when you're thin, you're wanting to put weight on. When you have straight hair, you want curly hair. When you have curly hair, you want, if you have brown hair, you want blonde hair. You know, it just goes on. So what it does is you spend your time, even as adults, we spend our time looking at people, at things, and we go, that's what we want to be. Right? I mean, am I the only one that's done that? And what happens a lot of times, especially to Christians, is what is the most thing that we see in order to kind of start formulating our spiritual gifts? Everything on stage. Right? So you're like, okay, well, God. No, you don't want to be a frame or anything. No. It's weird stuff. No, but you go, well, you know, am I supposed to be a preacher? So what I'm saying is I definitely know that God calls preachers, teachers. I mean, the word says he calls teachers. He calls prophets, apostles. But those seem real evident, and they seem to come up to the top pretty fast. And those people seem to be pretty sure of what they know they do. But then what are all the rest of the majority of us do? Go, okay, well, I can't sing, and scared to death to speak up there. So what do I do? What do I do? And so sometimes I think what happens is we have a misconception about spiritual gifts, meaning we think it's this huge, lofty thing. Like, oh, my gosh, it's like, oh, angels are going to come down. So you're waiting. You're praying every night going, God, you know, come to me in a dream. You know, knock a sign over me, something so I know my spiritual gift. And sometimes it doesn't happen. But what I've really come to realize is it's very, very practical. Because when he created you, Teresa, he knew just you. And so he's put some desires and things inside of you that only you are going to be able to read inside. Like bells and whistles are going to go off. But what happens is we don't hear those bells and whistles because we're still focused on being that singer up there or the lady that's in a business world making all this money. We're focused on something else. We're not hearing because you know, God, that maybe that's not what I don't think, you know, that doesn't sound fun to me. That doesn't sound fun to me. Because most of the time, at first, we think our spiritual gift probably doesn't sound fun. I'm going to read a very long passage. I'm going to try to do it a little fast, and then you can reference back to it. And that's going to kind of just be our text. And then I'm going to just talk about some things on my heart. Can I do that? Okay, and so y'all can talk back to me. Y'all can laugh. If you don't laugh, I will probably go home crying because I try to be a funny speaker. And if I'm not, just then I miss that spiritual gift, I guess, because that one I didn't read very well. And I do have screens for it, but it's going to be all of Romans 12. I like different versions of the Bible. I picked Message for this. I like the voice. I like to read different things, but there's just a couple of things in this one I really, really liked. And it is long, but I am going to try to read it quickly, and then I will hit some points quickly. So here's what I want you to do. This is actually what the word says, not me. Just thought I'd tell you. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embrace what God does for you as the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted in your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize that He wants what He wants from you, and you quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around us that always are dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out in you and develops it. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude and for all God has given me. Especially as I have responsibility in relation to you, living then as one of you do in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God, but know God brings it all to us. I think that's the other thing right there that's really key sometimes in our spiritual gift is we think it's this gift that I'm bringing to God and look how cool I'm at. But really God's like, dude, I really gave that all to you. It's like a check wrote that. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and what He does for us, not what we are or what we do for Him. That will release someone immediately. It's what he is, not what we do. Okay? In this way, we are like various parts of the human body. We've heard this in different passages of Scripture. Many times, all of our parts, our meaning, body as a whole, there's no way around it. As the body is talking of the body of Christ or chosen people, each of us find our own meaning and we function as a part of its body. But as chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So we find ourselves fashioned into all of these excellent formed and marvelous functioning parts in Christ's body. So let's just go ahead and be what we're made to be. Without envy or pridefulness, comparing ourselves to each other, or trying to be something we are not. If you preach, just preach. Nothing else. If you help, now I'm just going to kind of just give a little blurb here. I really didn't like these next two scriptures. Good thing about the word is the word is still the word, even if you don't really like it. But I'll follow it. But there's some things in here I'm like, what? If you help, just help. Don't take over. That's a little bit of my problem. Right there. That scripture. I told God, I was like, I'm going to read all those, but scripture 8. It's like, no, you're not. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. Didn't like that one either. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with disadvantage, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. And even in there, right there, I want to say something that in the scripture it says disadvantage. But, you know, everyone's at a disadvantage if they aren't flowing in what your vein is because they don't know. That's your job to know. And so sometimes even, you know, it's like having an usher that's just mad because a new person comes in and wants to know where to sit. And they're just like, over there. You see the open seats? You know, and so, you know, it's not necessarily a person at a disadvantage because there's something wrong with them. It's just that they're not knowledgeable about what you're gifted in. So if you're gifted in something, flow in that and be good in that. So love from the center of who you are. Don't be fake. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and inflamed. Be alert servants of the Master. Cheerful, expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help the needy. I'm telling you about all these little words and highlighted in yellow. Hospitality, bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath. Who was cursing up here? I heard some. No, Woodrow said someone was cursing. I did not believe it at this church. Would not have happened. Bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends. When you're happy, share tears with them when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies, and don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Heard that a lot as a kid. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone, and if you've got it in you, get along with everyone. I love that part. If you got it in you, get along with everyone. It's like, well, I just don't have it in me today, God, to get along with them. Y'all probably never meet our receptionist, and I love her. Let me tell you, she's the sweetest lady, and she can go to the nth degree, and she's so nice to everybody. But there are some times where, you know, people just kind of push your nerves. And when it's, she'll never say it in front of them, but then I hear her at the desk go, God, help me with your people. I just love it when she says that. I was just like, because all of a sudden it became your people, God. God, help me with your people. So it says, if you got it in, you get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you. I'll do the judging. I'll take care of it. And then I always like this scripture, of course. Our scripture tells us that if you see an enemy hungry, you go buy that person a lunch. If they're thirsty, get them a drink. Your generosity will surprise them with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Amen. So let's just talk a little bit. Like I was saying, you know, it kind of shocked me that I'm nearly 50 years old. And it's really, over the past couple of years, I've kind of gone, now I start to really see some things of my spiritual gifting. Because I've always, you know, it's just like everything else. I always wanted to, there were certain things in my mind. I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. You know, it's like when in high school, then they vote on, you know, who's most likely to succeed. But they never really kind of say of what they're going to succeed at. You know, and so you're thinking of that in your own self. I mean, let's all admit it. We all have, how many people can say, and remember, you're in the house of God. Even though we played games back there and we played games up here, how many people can say is that when you got out of high school and you had all these dreams of what you were going to do, that you've done every single one of them? Okay. Have you done any of them? Some of them. Cool. Okay. But that's what happens is we have a plan, and then our plan kind of gets all kind of crazy. And so really spiritual gifting is really cool because it's really what God has created you to do, and it's really the desires that are in you already. A spiritual gift, you need to remember, is just not in or for the walls of the church. Okay, so let me say that one more time, because we think a spiritual gifting is something that flows in the house and the body here. Ushering, you know, my spiritual gift is I'm going to, you know, prophesy over someone, pray for someone, intercessory prayer. But it's not just for in these walls or for the body of Christ only. A true spiritual gift should be something that you can operate in and people not think you're odd everywhere you are. And I say that because, you know, people that, you know, sometimes if you bust out in prayer in the middle of your office space, they're going to be like, what's she doing? But that you can still flow in your spiritual gift wherever you are, and you should be able to flow in your spiritual gift. And the amazing thing is spiritual gifts can be something that we deem as just natural tasks or common. One of my spiritual giftings that I fought for a really long time, not because I wasn't good at it, I was very good at it, I just didn't consider it a spiritual gift, is that I am very much administrative minded. I can just lay stuff out, get everything planned, and I can really honestly do a lot of it by myself and be okay with it, okay? But I've learned that I can't do that because when I do that, then I've cut people off of their spiritual gifts. And I also get to that part in the scriptures where it says, don't burn out and wear yourself down, okay? But I never considered that as a spiritual gift. I was like, okay, God, let me go back to the list. You know, I should be preaching, or I should be, you know, laying hands on people. I should be going to the mission field. You have these things in your mind that you think you should be doing, but you don't realize that just being administrative or just being organized or just the fact that you love to write cards, you know, that's a lost art or gift, but you write cards, and you write cards every week. That may be a spiritual gift God has called you to do. This is easy. So here are three steps quickly to tell you how to get to your spiritual gift. The first thing is pay attention. Pay attention. Notice the things around you that energize you. It'll happen kind of naturally. You won't even know it because that way you don't even think it's really a spiritual gift. It seems to come very naturally to you. Cooking. How many people love to cook? And that truly could be a spiritual gift. The reason why is if you are energized by cooking and you love to cook, you need to start paying attention because God may say, hey, you know what? So-and-so needs a meal today. Or so you just need to drop off something to someone. That is a spiritual gift. How many people we don't act like it's a spiritual gift. We're like, no, it's just cooking, God. No, it's not just cooking. It really is touching the heart of someone when you're paying attention and listening to what God is telling you to do, to instruct you to do that. It will come naturally. How many people remember the old movie, Chariots of Fire? Okay, all of us that are 50 and over. Thank you for the music. Okay, and it was the young one, too, that knew the music. Yes, good, over there. Proud of you. Proud of you. Proud of you. Maybe that should be a good movie night. Remember, that's another one. But in that movie, Eric was telling his sister, he was on the mission field, and he decided not to go back to the mission field. And his sister was like, why aren't you going back to the mission field? Why are you still, you know, gonna run? And he said, because when I run, I feel the pleasure of God. So at that moment, he realized that was when I was energized. I need to be doing that right now. This is where I'm called right now. So every one of your spiritual gifts will give you a clue. It will, you know, that sense and tingle, you know, it goes both ways. You know, that sense and tingle when you walk in, you're okay, like something's out of whack, something's not right in the house, or, you know, you get those sense and tingles. That same thing happens when you're operating in your spiritual gift of what you should be doing. And so you get that sense and tingle. And so you kind of just look around and you go, hey, if you're the one, like, if someone, you know, if you're the one that someone falls or something, if you're the one that always jump, instead of going, oh my gosh, if you're the one always jumping up and running over, then guess what? You're thinking, okay, I'm a first responder. In my mind, that doesn't mean you have to go off and get classes. It just means that my spiritual gifting is I'd like to get attention to them immediately. I need to go ahead and get organized. You may be an organizer or a leader at that. Hey, I need so much. I need such and such. It's operating in that. See, someone's patting someone on the back. Because you know, when you're thinking about that, you're seeing people in your mind. It's as simple as that. When it's someone that, how many of us always go, oh, yeah, man, I'm just kind of going through something right now. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. We'll just pray for you. And then they walk off. Okay. Their spiritual gift is not intercessory prayer or praying. That, I mean, they may pray for you. They're not lying. But an intercessor will just say, hey, we'll just step over to the side for a second. I want to pray for you right now. Because the burden is so deep to just go ahead and say a prayer over them and believe that the word says when two or more are gathered, there I am, so I'm going to go ahead and do it right now. And so an intercessor feels that. And so pay attention. Look at those things around your life. A lot of times we go through daily tasks, and we go through them as daily tasks. So just start even over the next week and go, what are the things that I, like laundry is not my spiritual gift. It is not. It will never be my spiritual gift. But I have a friend that says, I love doing laundry. Because I'm doing laundry, I start talking to God, and God starts talking back to me. And I'm like, yeah, he has never said a word to me during laundry. Probably because I'm trying to refrain from cursing. I'm just saying. My husband will tell you laundry is not my spiritual gift. You know, shopping is my spiritual gift. Laundry is not. But that's what I'm saying. There's things that you do. Now, I don't have a lot of time. I get real busy. But really, when I have the time and I set some hours aside and I start just cleaning the house, like just cleaning. Now, it's not a spiritual gifting, but I do like it because I notice I get energy from it. And I'm really being able, things in my mind will start turning. And that's my times where, and so there will be things that you start doing that you'll see, hey, I feel different now than when I do something different. And so those may be things that you want to start listing. And so I'll encourage you over the next week. I'm giving you some assignments, and you can report them back to Andrea. Is that start kind of just thinking about some of those things. Think about the things. How many people serve in some kind of volunteer capacity or even lead here in the church? Okay, that's a whole lot of you. So I'm going to even ask you on Wednesdays and Sundays for the next couple of weeks, notice how you feel, okay? Notice how you feel when you're serving. And that's going to go along with the next point in just a second. And so put some points, make some lists of things that you really get energy from, you really love doing. If you love to stop by and see the babies and squeeze on them, think about that. So the next one is try it out. Just try it out. So if there's something, if you're not serving or if you're not doing something currently, try something out from the list of things you think energize you. Or if you are currently serving or doing something, whether in here or you're doing it out with a nonprofit or whatever just turned your heart, pay attention while you're doing it. Pay attention while you're doing it of how you're feeling. So go back to that. I've been at Pathway for almost 25 years. I've only been on staff for 7. Those other years I was in the corporate world. I was at Bank of America and worked a very long career there. But I still was very active while I was at Pathway at a volunteer capacity. And when I first started going about 25 years ago, we probably were running about 100 then. We were at a different building than we are now. And pastor started kind of noticing there was, you know, more people starting to come. People were getting excited. And there was just like a group of 4, 5, 6 teenagers hanging out. Well, my first husband, and I'll get that, kind of pay attention. Go back to the pay attention one from the husbands. So you wouldn't have to say first husband. I'm just telling y'all, pay attention, girls. God will tell you. No. So my first husband was in the band. So I was always up there a lot, but I wasn't doing anything. I was just hanging out because, you know, he's in the band, they're rehearsing all the time, and they're just doing what band people do, and that was not my calling. So pastor's like, hey, maybe you could just kind of like go to the other building and hang out with these teens. And I was like, okay, that's cool. You know, I was like 24, 25, pretty close to range. That will work. Well, for the next 5 years, me, not my husband, I served as the youth pastor there, and I loved it. I still love teens today. I still kind of feel like I'll go over there and draw, and now I'm just kind of, you know, I think they tolerate me, but they're kind of like, what? They're like, yeah, don't do that dance anymore. That dance went a long time ago. But it's something that I love. I knew that. I knew I loved it. Well, at the same time, we had a ladies children's pastor. And she was so great. She was so cute. Well, she went out on a short-term leave for about 6 weeks to have surgery. And so they did children's church on Sunday night. We did youth on Wednesday night. Because, again, we were a small church, so we were all sharing one big room. So we had to switch nights. So we kind of did a rotation to cover her. So let me just tell you, I had 2 Sundays out of her 6 Sundays because guess what? I'm the youth pastor. How hard could that be to transition to the children's pastor? So let's just say I took one of my top youth leaders with me, and he did great. He's a guy, you know, he just let kids run all over him. He's fine. I don't know that he really cared either way. But I was like standing at the front going, where's the duct tape? Because I envisioned duct taping kids to the wall. So after the first week, I told Pastor, I don't think I can do the second week. Because guess what? That was not my spiritual gift. In fact, I was like trying to think of things, you know, to do to the kids to just make them be quiet. And they weren't very good things to do. So when I tell you to try it out, you'll know. So if you're in a capacity already serving, kind of feel it out. If you realize that, you know, and I'm trying, and if, you know, if everybody quits next week, their role, and Andrea will be so mad at me, so I'm not saying that. If you leave a ministry, you always do it in honor. You find your replacement, and then you move to another ministry. You don't disconnect. Y'all hear me? but sometimes you got to go, but if you feel like you're like I was, you know, everybody picks on ushers at church. It doesn't matter what denomination you are, the ushers get picked on. So is there any ushers in the house? I'm sorry. I'm just going to apologize up front. Okay, good. So I can pick on them. But really, it's like if you're a door greeter, if you're an usher, and you're mad, and you don't want to help, then find another role. I mean, really, and I'm using those as practical things, but really those are our spiritual gifts. You know, a spiritual gift is, I saw Miss Pittman come in when we walked in the door, and she was patient with us kind of trying to find and get our stuff, but her smile was constant until we were able to look her in the eye, and she's like, welcome! And I was like, okay, she found her place. She's got her spiritual gift down. And that's what I'm saying is you got to feel it, whether it's here, whether it's in your office at work, whether if you volunteer out of here, you've got to feel it. And God will give you those unctions. It's very practical. Get the dreams out of your head and really just start spending time with Him. Try it out. Get some leverage of hearing from God instead of what we choose. Just like I said earlier, I mean, a lot of times we'll choose paths that aren't right for us. Had I listened to God, I would have never had to say first marriage. But yet, the first marriage got me to a lot of things that I learned that I am now thankful for. And I can learn from. And God always does that. He takes our left turns and turns them into right turns and gets us back on the track. Amen? Yeah, He does do that. And so, pay attention. Try things out. You need to make sure that you're feeling that spiritual gift. And then this is really important. This is the last one. Develop yourself. You are responsible. The word even says in that same scripture that says, don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled in flame. It did not say, don't burn out. It's God's job to keep you fueled and flamed. It didn't say that. It says, keep yourself. That means it's up to you to keep yourself. And don't quit, but pray. Okay? And so, and even in first, I didn't put that verse up there, but 2 Timothy 1:6, it says, fan the flame with the gift for the gift of God in your life. To fan that flame. Because guess what? When you realize what your spiritual gift is, you're still going to get tired. You're not, and there's days you're not going to love it. One thing my pastor says, and I always love it because it really is true, is it doesn't matter if you're at the pulpit or if you're in the very back nursery where half the time people don't see you, you're still shepherding sheep that God has put under your care. And guess what? Sheep bite. They just do. And so even pastor says, you know, I've had to learn over the years that sheep bite. So sometimes it's not going to always be a great experience, but I'm not going to quit because of that. I'm not going to walk away from my spiritual gift because of someone else. So you got, but the only way to do that is to continually develop yourself. You need to continually find ways to grow, to pray in the Lord. The other thing is once you feel like, hey, that's really what I want to do, I know what my heart is, then find someone that just stands out to you. I mean, it's easy to do when it's people here on the stage. So, you know, if you want to sing and you find a singer, that's always easy to do. But sometimes it's not easy to do when we're walking in some other spiritual gifts. You know, like our first lady, pastor's wife, she's awesome at writing cards and sending anonymous gifts. And she's very, very quiet. You know, most pastor's wives, you see a lot. They're very visual. You know, they're involved in a lot of stuff. She's not. She's very quiet. She sits aside. She'll speak some on Sunday morning. He'll ask her. She will. But she's really, really quiet until it gets to cards showing up in your mail. Or get, like, she knows I love owls. And even before I started at the church, I would just have a box on my doorstep, and she wouldn't even put who it's to. She just ordered it from the company and sent it to me. But it wasn't just because it was me. She does that for so many people because that was her spiritual gift. But so if I was someone that says, man, you know, I love to write cards, and I'm an encourager. That's my heart. Then I would find someone that has encouraged you. And then just start sticking close to them and letting them mentor you just by watching, just by hanging with them, just by being with them. If people go, man, you know, one day, you know, I want to do what Andrea does. Well, guess what? Get in and start serving with her. Get close to her and don't sit out here, but go, hey, I'm going to come early. What do you need me to do? What do you need me to do? And so when you start seeing that as your spiritual gift is coming up under people to support, get near them so that they can mentor you. You got to pay the price. You got to kind of work it. There's a great saying that says, part of learning what you're good at is having to go through all the pain of learning what you're not good at. I have learned a lot of stuff I am not good at. children's ministry to me, and it was a lot of pain that day. But then there's been some other painful things, and that is a funny story, and it turned out okay because I didn't have any lawsuits and I did not put any kids on the wall. But there's been some other things that I probably wouldn't even share in public that were painful. But then the one thing I could do is walk around and go, you know what? I thought that was my calling, and I thought I would do this, and I got really hurt. But you know what? That's the reason why I can't be mad at them is because I wasn't in my lane. I was saying, God, that's what I want to do because that's cool, or I want to do this. And God's like, you got to get in your lane. I can use you best when you're in your lane. It's just like any kind of cars going two different directions. If we just think it's, you know, if we think, man, it's really cool how they drive in Europe. But you can't do that here just because you think it's cool, because then it becomes a danger. But we do that with our life, and we do that with the things, because a lot of times we want to be able to tell God, no, I really think this gifting's cooler. I would really like to do this instead. So I think I would go ahead, just do it, God, and you could catch up with me, right? I'm just being real about me, you know. Just do it like this, and you can catch up with me. And then when you can, but what happens is you cause a lot of head-on collisions in the process. And had we been in our lane, there are some things that I'll tell you I regret, and I regret more timing. I regret because I spent so much time trying to make my own lanes instead of getting in the lane God wanted me to. I start going, God, I should have gotten a lot of stuff done. The last thing is, I'm just going to remind you, is we are responsible to develop our own gifts. We are responsible. And so find someone, get close, and really work at your spiritual gift. By doing that, a couple of things are going to happen. One is, people are always going to be blessed when you're operating in your gift, even when you don't know or think that you're doing anything. Someone is always going to benefit. God doesn't do anything. God doesn't allow anything to happen, or even a group to come together without there's a soul purpose at every single time. And even when you are sitting at a table laughing, you may say a word to someone and they walk away, and you may not have ever known that that was the exact word they needed to hear. But when you're operating in your gift and you're really in tune and paying attention, then it will always bless and benefit someone else around you. And ultimate, it will always bless the kingdom. God can't do what he needs to do inside the church and outside of the walls until we all get in our lanes, until we all do our giftings. And so I just want to encourage you, ladies. It wasn't as funny as I thought I would be. No, it's kind of quiet tonight. But no, I really do want to encourage you, because I think a lot of times we walk away thinking spiritual gifts are just this really, you know, it's going to be, I'm going to have a big sign that says, this is cool, this is what I do. And a lot of times, the gifting that we walk in a lot of times is probably unseen most of the time. But that's when you know you're going to really, when you start operating that and flowing that, you start realizing, you know, as long as God sees it, then that is where the reward comes from. And you'll have people years, maybe days, years later that says, you know, several years ago you were doing such and such, and I really needed that right then. And you would just never know it. And so you've got to go, this is the only thing I do is thank God. Thank you, Lord. I was listening to you right then, and I was in my lane, because it had not been, you never know what paths he will take. So it's important to find your spiritual gift. If your spiritual gift is one of those top five, then do it with all your mind. But you know what? For the majority of us, our spiritual gifts are something so simple, like encouraging, like just praying for someone that maybe even not know that you've been praying for them for weeks and weeks and weeks. For administrating, for just saying, hey, Andrea, you know what? I'm going to come in 2 hours this week, and I'm just going to send out mail outs for you, just because I can help. I can just get stuff organized. I can run to the store and get all the stuff on the list for Summer Sisters. Whatever your gift is, do it, and do it well unto the Lord, and you will be blessed, but the kingdom of God will be blessed. Thank you, ladies, so much tonight for having, not even just for having me, Miss Andrea, too, but also for having us as acts. I brought Miss Amelia and Miss Brooke here with me. They come, and these are two of my top leaders at acts. And we have a great team that makes it happen, but we can't do it without groups like you guys that just go, hey, we want to be a blessing. And we really, really always appreciate that we, as the Acts team, is on y'all's heart. That means a lot to us. So.